Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osman, here with my friend Chavruta Ann Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Kiddushin, daf Lamed Aleph, page 31. Well, there's actually a lot of famous Haggadot on this daf. Some nuggets of stories, stories about people or some rich biographical information about some of our Amoraim that appears on this daf. So it was one of these dafs that Ann and I felt we actually could have read all of it. I'm going to do Amid Aleph and we'll do Amid Bet. But the whole theme of the daf is really talking about different scenarios or stories all centered around Kibud Av V'Em. And so the first question that gets asked here is, Bo Mine Me Rav Ula. So they raise the question to Rav Ula, Ad Heichan Kibud Av V'Em. How far does Kibud Av V'Em go? Like, how much do you have to do, that is, fulfilling that mitzvah? Amar Lahem, he said to them, Zuru Masa Nachriachad Bashkalon. Go see what one non-Jew did in Ashkelon. Vidama ben Netina Shemo. So Dama ben Netina, this is a very famous story about Dama ben Netina. And it's interesting to say that sort of, I think by using a non-Jew, Ula is saying that there's sort of a universalism to Kibud Av V'Em, right? That even the non-Jew who's brought into the world the same way that the Jew is, should honor his parents. So one time the Chachamim wanted to buy some kind of merchandise from him, b'shishim rubiyas sachar, for 600,000 gold dinar profit. But the key for where the merchandise was kept was under his father's head. He was sleeping on it, and basically, Dama ben Netina wouldn't wake him up, even though he could have made a lot of money. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, right? So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, and this is a parallel, similar story. Shalu ad Rav Eliezer, they asked Rav Eliezer, Ad Heichan Kibud Av V'Em, again, the same question. Amar Lahem, Zuru, Masa, Nachri, Achad, La'aviv, Ashkelon. So again, he says the same story as Ula, the Dama ben Netina Shemo, with the same name. So this version of the story is the one that I see sort of more often quoted in children's books, but that basically the Chachamim wanted stones for him for the ephod, right? That was the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore. And the Rav Kahana mani b'shmonim rubia, and it would have been for a profit of 600,000 gold dinars. Rav Kahana says for 800,000. But the point is, it was a lot of money. And again, the idea was that the key was underneath the father's head where he was sleeping, under Dama's father's head, and therefore he did not wake him up. So in the next year, he gets blessed by God, right? The whole concept also that a non-Jew could also see God's blessings. And what was his reward? Shenaldalo para aduma be'edro, that he was given a para aduma, right? So remember, a para aduma has to be a fully red heifer. It's used for the purification process from dead bodies. They are very rare. Every once in a while, you might see, like on a Jewish newspaper or website, like a red heifer, a para aduma was found somewhere, and they try to keep it in case Mashiach comes, but they're very, very rare. Nichnesu chachamei Yisrael etzlo. So again, the sages came to him. Amar lehem yodei ani b'hem. And he says to them, I know that if I were to ask for any money in the world, you'll give it to me, right? Because this is so rare. But he says, I'm only going to ask you for the amount of money that I lost because of what I did for my father. Now, notice what this means, obviously, is that even a paraduma was worth even more than that. And then it finally goes on to say, but I'm a Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, Umad she'i mi she'eino mitzuvevo sa, kach mitzuvevo sa, alacha kama v'kama. So Rabbi Chanina says, look, what happened to a person who wasn't even commanded to honor his parents, right? Because a non-Jew doesn't have to keep the Torah. How much more so the reward would be for someone who was actually commanded, meaning a Jew. Dama Rabbi Chanina, gadol mitzuvevo osa mi mi she'eino mitzuvevo osa. And so this is an interesting halachic concept that we see, that Rabbi Chanina says that it's actually who gets a greater reward, the person who's commanded, than a person who's not commanded. And there's something a little counterintuitive, right? We may say, oh, if you go above and beyond and do something that you weren't commanded to do, that's even better. But actually we have the other way of looking at it. And then we have this very famous thing from Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef comes, this I'm going to read out of, well, I guess I'll just read it. Amar Rav Yosef, Meirish Hava Mina Man Dehave Amar Li Halacha Ka Rav Yehuda De Amar Suma Pator Mina Mitzvot Avdina Yoma Tava L'Ravanan. So he said, at first, if someone would tell me the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a blind person is patur from doing the mitzvot, right? So he says, I would make a festive day for the rabbis, right? Taha lo mifkidina v'ha avdina, because I'm not commanded, and yes, I do. It means, yes, a blind person is patur from doing the mitzvot, but, you know, I should get reward because I do it, right? Hashad deshamata laha damar Rabbi Hanina, but now I heard this teaching of Rabbi Hanina that the person who gets the greater reward is who? Is the person who is commanded. So therefore, if someone would tell me the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that a blind person is actually obligated to mitzvot, I would make a festival for the rabbis, right? That in other words, he is upset a little bit. You know, that he's upset for a little bit about that. So very, very interesting, passage. These are two very famous stories here. And I think they give us some nice, you know, the first story about Dama is a very famous story about Kibbutz Avaim, one that we learned from a non-Jew. And I think the second one is, just gives us some interesting biographical information about Rav Yosef.
I always find these Gemaras, and I think that they're pretty discussed, I think, maybe in contrast to some other passages, I find them to be particularly, I don't know, meaningful, inspiring, right? They're discussing things that are so common to everybody, this question of Kibbutz Avaim, whether you're the parent or the child, or both, right? Most of us at some point are both, not necessarily at the same time. And I feel like the question of how to best go about fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring your parents is a challenge even to Chazal, even to the sages. And so what we get here is, so you're Dana, you've presented this like more, you know, more comprehensive approach to it. What I've got here on Amud Bet is, you know, sage after sage after sage after sage, and like a little piece of what they used to do in this context, or the question of how would they honor their parents. Now, also, we should note that this is already when they're adults, right? As opposed to what does it mean for a child to honor parents? That may be a whole separate discussion. In this case, it seems to be, we'll see. Okay, starting from the top of the daf, from the top of the Amud, Amar Rabbi Abaun. I'll just mention that Rabbi Abaun was a third generation Amora. He was living in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, as compared to so many other people that we cite who are living in Bavel at this time. And he was known to be one of the prime top students of Rabbi Yochanan. And so often we find him quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but also he quotes his peers, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, but also Reish Lakish and Rabbi Lezer and so on. And then he falls in the lineup, Rabbi Zera, who is also largely in Eretz Yisrael, often will quote Rabbi Abaun, right? So we have, you know, the lineup of Israel, Eretz Yisrael sages in that, he's very prominent in that list. He was ahead of the yeshiva in Caesarea, and we have stories about who he is as a person, in terms of being humble, in terms of being righteous, and so on. So this is about honoring, right? Really honoring, and in this case, honoring him as the father. Amar Rabbi Abaun, Kagon Avimi Bri Kam. So this is really coming in the discussion that was at the end of the previous Amud, right? Which I'm going to leave aside because it will just make it even more complicated and extend our episode longer. But the point is that he's saying that Avimi was his son, is somebody who indeed properly fulfilled this mitzvah. Kiyem mitzvat kibud. He properly fulfilled the mitzvah of kibud avim. How so? Chamisha b'nei samche havaleila Avimi b'chaye aviv. So Avimi had five sons while Rabbi Abaun was still alive. And each of those five sons, meaning the grandsons of Rabbi Abaun, had smicha. They were ordained to give psak halacha, to give halachic rulings. V'kihava ata Rabbi Abaun kari abava. And then, so what happened is, and this is, you know, a little bit of an interesting story, when Rabbi Bao, right, the father of Avimi, would show up, right? He would come to his house or to the yeshiva, whatever, and then he would call for the gate, you know, so that he could come in, right? Va'azil va'patachle, and Avimi himself would go and run and open the gate, meaning he's the father of five adults. So first of all, Rabbi Abao himself must have been, you know, getting on in years, but the point is that Avimi himself would make sure that he was the one to do it, because that is his mitzvah of kibud av. Va'amar in ad demate hatam, and he would get there, and then he would say, yes, meaning like he's already talking to him, like not that he was, you know, his father shouldn't have had to wait even for a moment at the gate. It says if he's already in the midst of opening the gate, even before he's fully there to open it, which is kind of a sweet image, I guess, of Avimi and his relationship with his father. Okay, I'm jumping down. They're keeping like more and more tidbits, but I'm jumping down to the next one, which is Amar le Rav Yaakov bar Avua la Abaye. So Rav Yaakov bar Avua says to Abaye, Kegon Ana. He says, you know, like me, like I, what is he saying? Da'ad atina mi bei Rav, Abba medlili kasa. He says, my parents, he was so beloved by his parents that when he would come home from the Beit Midrash, his father would bring him a cup, v'ima mazgali, and his mother would pour it for him. Hechi yavid. And so he says, how should he act? Meaning his parents are catering to him. Isn't he supposed to cater to his parents? And this is his question to Abaye. Meaning he doesn't want to accept the honor given to him. He's the child. I mean, he's an adult, but he's the child of his parents. So Abaye says, yeah, well, accept that, you know, the pouring of the drink from your mother, but don't accept this from your father, that he comes running to bring you something. Why? So, you know, the idea is that the father himself is a Torah scholar, and so he, in the end, will end up being weaker if the son does not show him the kavod, right? And so the idea is make sure that he shows that respect to the father and let the mother kind of cater to him, which is an interesting dynamic. And the Gemara here doesn't really get into, you know, we don't get an explanation beyond that. Abaye says, he explains why he has to not accept that kavod from the father, but he doesn't explain why he should accept it from the mother. Next, as I say, sage after sage, Rabbi Tarfon Havale Hahi Ima. So Rabbi Tarfon treated his mother in a particular way, namely, the whole emata havad baya lemesik lepuria gachin vasalikla. So whenever she wanted to go into her bed, he would bend over to help her climb up to the bed. Right? And then the whole emata havad nachta ilave. And then every time she wants to come down from the bed, he would like put himself there for her to climb down onto him. I'm wondering how high this bed must have been, or how much difficulty she must have had in climbing, right? Again, it doesn't sound like she's particularly young in this story. So he went to the Beit Midrash, and he told him, you know, he explained what he had been doing and how this was such a wonderful thing in terms of honoring his mother. Amrele, they said to him, Adayan lohigata lechatsi kibud, you haven't even done half of what she deserves. Klum zarka arnake befanecha liyam velo ahachlamta. So they say to him, you know, like, did it ever happen that she, you know, threw a arnak, a wallet, into the sea in front of you and you did not embarrass her? Meaning, did she ever do something that was so upsetting and so embarrassing, and yet you didn't actually allow yourself to express any kind of distress in her presence, then you would really be honoring her, not just by helping her into bed. Next, Rav Yosef ki havashma kal kara de'imei amar, when Rav Yosef would hear his mother's footsteps, so he would say, Eku mekame shechina de'atya. He said, I'm standing before the shechina, the divine presence that's coming here now, meaning this is the honor that he gave his mother by comparing her to the divine presence. Amar Biochanan Ashri Mishalo Chama'an, Rebiochan Ki Ibarto Imo, Meta Vi Viladato, Meta Imo, So what happens? Rabbi Yochanan says, well, how lucky is the one who never saw his father and mother, because it's so hard to give them a proper honor, right? Meaning it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, that's a much harder existence. But, you know, if it's so impossible to properly fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, of honoring your parents, then there's an advantage if you don't have parents to begin with. So what happens? Rabbi Yochanan said he never saw his parents. When his mother was pregnant with him, the father died. And then she gave birth to him, and then she died. And then v'chein Abaye, and that's also true of Abaye. Now, we've talked about Abaye and his mother in the past. That's his stepmother. I believe we've mentioned that each time, right? That it's not his biological mother, but his stepmother. Eni, but the Gemara says, is that so, that Abaye never saw his mother? And here we go. V'amar Abaye, amar le'im. He said, my mother told me. Ha'hi marbinti have. That was actually the foster mother, right? The stepmother. It's not the birth mother. Maybe a foster mother is a better word for it, right? Because the point is that she's the one who took him in and raised him, not because she was married to his father. His father's not there either. And then I think we'll just do one more. Rav Asi havale hahi ima zakena. So Rav Asi had an elderly mother. Amra le ba'ena tachshitin. She says, I want jewelry. Avadla. So he made her jewelry. Ba'ena gavra. He says, I want a man I can marry. Ne'ain lach. So he says, I will go look for one. Ba'ena gavra deshapir kavatach. So she says, I want a husband who's as handsome as you. Shavka va'azi la'arad Yisrael. So what happens is he then up and leaves. Rav Asi up and leaves and goes to Israel, to the land of Israel, to learn, to study, whatever. The implication is like something has gone wrong here, right? Like she's already maybe past her full cognition, right? The idea that maybe she's a little bit losing it. I don't mean any disrespect in these phrases, right? The phrasing here is what is the shapir kavatach. You want someone as beautiful as you, as handsome as you, it's clear to him that she doesn't have a full grasp on the reality any longer. And so rather than disrespect her in terms of like, he's not going to mock her and he's not going to provide somebody who's, you know, like he's not a matchmaker for his mother anymore because he understands that there's an issue. So instead he ups and goes to Israel. And then Shemadika Azla Abatra, he heard that she's following him to Israel. Atal Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So he goes before Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Amarlei, Mahu let Seit Me'aretz L'chutz L'aretz. He says, can I leave the land of Israel to go to the diaspora? Amarlei, Asur. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can't do it. Prohibited. Likrat ima Mahu. What if I'm going to greet my mother? Amarlei, Eni Yodea. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan is one of the people that we said he didn't know his parents. Itrach porta hadar ata. So then Rav Asi waits a bit, and then he comes back to Rabbi Yochanan. Amrele Asi nitritzeta latzeit hamakom yachzircha l'shalom. So Rabbi Yochanan says to him, you are determined to leave. Like, I see how much you are pushing to leave. So may God grant you peace. And then that's it. Like, he doesn't keep going in the conversation. Rav Asi comes, and now I'm just going to do this outside of the daf because in the interest of time, Rav Asi ends up going before Rabbi Elazar because he doesn't know what to make of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. So, but he can't talk to him anymore because he's refusing to, he's done. Rabbi Yochanan's done with this audience. So he asks Rabbi Elazar, you know, was Rabbi Yochanan angry? And basically Rabbi Elazar says, if he were angry, he would never have given you this kind of blessing, you know, as you're going to depart. So that all sounds good. The problem is that then he goes to meet his mother and he's met by her casket, right? She's died on the way, I guess, or maybe before, I don't know, but her arrival to the land of Israel is in death, not in life. And he says, and this is, of course, you know, kind of very poignant, I yadi lo nafke, had I but known, I would not have left.
Look, I think these are all, I want to go back to the Rabbi Yochanan piece. To me, there's like something very psychological there, that someone who didn't have children, didn't have parents, which obviously had to be painful, sort of justifies a hidden blessing in it. And I can't tell if that's like a deeply wounded thing to say, or is that like a silver lining comment?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I also wonder about these different personalities, meaning Rabbi Yochanan is really established in Israel. Rav Asi has just arrived there, right? Meaning we don't have a sense of how long he was there before all of this takes place. How well did Rabbi Yochanan know him? You know, and how much is Rabbi Yochanan talking about Rav Asi, and how much is he talking about himself? Or
yeah, that's a great
abstract
insight to that story as well, right? Like Rav Asi wasn't like a known commodity, and he wasn't a known person, right? No one knew who he was yet.
Right, exactly.
I think that's a great way to read it. Well, that's our top discussion for the day. Rank us, reviews on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this topic on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.